stealing the affection of dogs. Bits of the world blow towards him and come apart on the wind. He invents. He lies. I had a passion for dogs. They seemed to know. I was adept in robbing their masters of their love. He steals apples from the orchard, gives them to boys in a cottage and tells them to watch how fast he runs. He climbs a beech by the wall of the locked kitchen garden. He dreams himself into the inner gloss of raspberry canes, a forest glowing in its net, emerald cold in a watchman's brazier. He straddles the coping and fits a stick in the hole at the base of an empty flower pot. When he pulls, peaches and plums fall in, enough to have begun an orchard of his own. My father's. Valuable. The words hang in the trees when the soft blobs are gone. He hides his loot in shrubbery and runs to tell. He has found a hoard of stolen fruit. When he was in Shrewsbury, he lived with his father in the house, but he went to Shrewsbury School, the boys' public school up the road, and he often had to run between them. And at that time, he believed, like all young boys in 1830 or thereabouts, in God, of course. This poem is called The Efficacy of Prayer. I often had to run through town between the school and home, slipping the shuts between one dark street and the next, Shoplatch, Mardoll, Grope Lane, Butcher Row. Being very fleet, I was generally in time, but I often prayed earnestly to God for aid. Gullet Passage, Bear Steps, Portobello, Murrivance. I attributed my success to prayer, marvelling how greatly I was helped. One of the things Darwin always found difficult, all his life, was pain. And eventually it was thinking that the divinity could not have ordered pain, such suffering as he did see in the world, to be, that was not a benevolent divinity. It was pain that was one of the things that tipped him against the idea of a benevolent divinity. And when he was first in his hammock, first on board the Beagle, very, very seasick, the first thing he got to know about the Beagle was the lashings by the Cat of Nine Tails for the sailors who had been truanting and got drunken over Christmas in Portsmouth Harbour. And this really is his first experience of the Beagle. Cat of Nine Tails. Shrieks from above on deck. One sailor lashed by the Cat 25 times for drunkenness. Three strands of rope unravelled into three. A trinity of trinities set sinners on the path to righteousness, and then replatted for a more effective wound. Drum rolls, all hands to witness punishment. Silence as the tails are disentangled. In the Bay of Biscay, your naturalist lies retching on the floor, trying not to picture barbed knots biting across on every spine and shoulder blade. That glary scarlet scribble on open flesh again, again, again. 31 lashes for neglect of duty. Disobeying orders, 34. 44, that's drunkenness with insolence. The captain says he must establish order from the start. Leg irons on 5 more. Till we passed Tenerife, says the captain's log, he was terribly sick. The misery, Charles tells his journal, is excessive. After 5 years on the Beagle, they came to the Galapagos Islands. And he didn't realize then completely the point about the different sorts of animal on each island, that the species could diversify and multiply because of the different conditions. Of course, he did later. The only birds that he really noticed the differences in were mockingbirds. But the most important animal there, in a way, that we think of is the giant tortoise. And this poem is called On Not Thinking About Variation in Tortoise Shell. It's got a little epigraph from Milton, The Argument to Paradise Lost, Book One. He tells them of a new world, a new kind of creature to be created. And this is in the Galapagos Islands, September 1835. Pure volcano, a mantle of hot bare rock. Nothing could be less inviting. A broken field of black basaltic lava, thrown into most rugged waves and crossed by fissures. Lava tubes, tuff cones, and bright red-orange crabs. A land iguana, one saffron leathery elbow, powdery as lichen, sticking out like a man doing press-ups while leering at the sand. A marine iguana, hideous, an imp of darkness. On Albemarle Island, they seem to grow to a larger size. Young sea lions nip their tails for fun and fling them in the air, like cats with mice. To eat them? No. Nothing here, except one hawk is carnivore, and none afraid of man. And look, giant tortoises, travelling eagerly, their necks outstretched, to springs. I tried riding on their backs, but found it hard to balance. The colony's vice-governor told us he knew which island any shell came from, because they differ. I did not for some time pay this enough attention. I never dreamed that islands 60 miles apart, made of the same stone, of nearly equal height and the same climate, could have different tenants. Fast forward 20 years, and you see him write of this scatterburst of rock in open sea. We seem brought near that mystery of mysteries, the first appearance of new beings on this earth.